Good morning.
Good morning, Harold. How are you?
How are you? Baruch Hashem, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. I'm well. Happy to be here.
I'm glad to hear you here.
Thank you. Are we the only ones on the call right now?
We are, and we'll wait another minute before I start just to give somebody else a chance to arrive.
Okay. All right. Well, then I'll put this up to me. I don't think that we're meeting today, you know, so at 11.
Okay. All right, so that's a no for today?
Yeah, I can't. I think.
Okay.
Yeah, not today.
Do you want to reschedule or you'll let me know? We'll talk about it later.
Yeah, I think we should talk about it later. That would be lovely. It would be very lovely. I missed you for sure. So, know that.
Understood.
Okay. Yeah, so I've got my Anika Core ready.
Okay, so we will start with the Anika Core. This is a little different than we've been doing because it's not Slichot anymore. But what we've been doing is the readings for the Sukkot and some additional items. So
has joined.
Perfect.
Good morning.
Morning.
We're going to start today with the
has joined.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We're going to start today with the Anna Bacoa. So please join me. Anna Bacoa. Kedula Chimmy. Aleph Gimel Yud Tav Tzadi. This connects to the Ahavati Nam, unconditional love. Kabel Rinat Kufreshayan Sintet Nun Prasan.
Has joined.
Na Gibor, Dorje, Nun Gimel Dalet, Yud Kaf Shin. This connects to Parnasa and to healing, sustenance and healing. One is very much related to the other. Barchim Taharim
Lem
Bet Tet Resh Saritah Gimel. This connects to the Sefirah Netzach and its essence of eternity. Eternal. Hasin Kadosh. Ket Kuf Bet, Tet Nunayan. This connects to the Sefirah Hod and its essence of appreciation and thankfulness. Yachid Geyeh. Yud Gimel Lamed Pei Zayin Kuf. This connects to the Sefirah of Yesod and its essence of foundation, sexuality, creativity, and creation. Shabbatenu kabel. This connects to the essence of completion, which leads to perfection and means perfection, as well as ahavatinam, unconditional love. And we learn that the path to perfection and completion is through the injection of unconditional love in every aspect of our lives. And the eighth verse of the Anabha Koach, we will say in a whisper. Good morning to all.
Good morning.
We're going to be reading from the parasha for this day, which is the fifth day of Sukkot. We're going to be reading from the book of Numbers, chapter 29, from verses 23 to 31. And the 2 days of bulls that will be involved is from verse 23 to 28. We'll read it both in the Hebrew and then in the English. Verse 23, but we'll start with a L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud kudsha b'rechu ishkintei b'idhilu urchimu urchilu urchilu urchimu li'akta l'shem yudhei b'vavhe v'yehuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael limud Torah mitzvah la'sok Torah mitzvah v'yihino amadunai aleinu aleinu ma'aseh yadeinu k'rene aleinu ma'aseh yadeinu k'rene hu. Uvayom harivi parim asara eilim shenaim yivasim b'nei shana arba asar temimim min chatam v'niskechem laparim laelim v'lach vatsim. Bamisparam Tamishpat Usir Izin Echad Hatat Milvad Olat Latamid Minchata Vaniska. The second portion, the second reading, second Aliyah, starts with verse 26. As you saw, we read three verses, and this will also be three verses. The first three were for the Kohanim, for the priest. Second three for the Levi. Uvayom ha-hamishi parim tisha eilim shenayim kivasim b'nei shana arba'a asar tamimin umin chatam v'niskehem laparim la'elim v'lach vasim b'misparam kamishpat uzir hata'at echad milvad olat ha'tamid umin chata v'niska. The third portion, the third aliyah, is for the Israeli, and that is reading three verses, which start with verse 29 and go to verse 31. Uvayom ha-shishi parim shemona elim shenayim kivasim b'nei shana arba'a asar temimin umin chatam v'niskehem laparim le'elim v'lach vasim b'misparam tamishpat u'sir chatat. Echad milvad olad hatamid min chata unsakecha. And the fourth read, the fourth aliyah, is the Malchut level. And we're reading from verse 23 to 28. And in this fourth parasha, this fourth aliyah, we will be dealing with the 2 days worth of bulls that will be shechted, sacrificed, and killed in the kosher manner in order to share the energy with the 70 nations. Today, I believe it's 10 bulls and 9 bulls, but we will see. I could be wrong because I didn't read over it. But always understand when we're talking about the shechting, this sacrifice of a number of animals, each animal receives a libation, which is wine. And each animal receives a matzah, a meal offering, which what we recognize or see is we're seeing the whole concept of the three columns built into the sacrifices. It's built in 2 levels. One with the fact that there's a Kohen who does the shechting. There's a Levi'im who is singing to elevate the mood of the Israeli who's bringing the sacrifice. And the Israeli is the third column. So we're dealing with the right column, the left column, and the central column. And when we have the fourth aliyah, we're connecting to the Malchut. Uvayom ha-revi, parim asara elim shanaim, kivasim b'nei shana arba'a, asar tamimim, min chatam b'niskechem, La parim la elim velach vasim umisparam kamishpat uzirizim echar chataat milvad olat hatamid min chata veniska uvayom hachamishi parim Isha Eli Shanaim Kivasim Veneshanar Baal Asar Tamimin Umin Khatam Beniskehem Laparim Lailim Velachvasim Bemisparam Kamishpat Uzir chatat echad milvad olat hatamid umin chata beniska. So we'll now read the English translation. And on the fourth day, 10 bulls, 2 rams, and 14 lambs in the first year, all unblemished. Now, but today is the fifth day, so why are we reading about the fourth day? Because the past is part of our present. It's telling us about past, present, and future. Because we need to unify all three consciousnesses. We lived in the past, we're presently living now, and we're anticipating the future. In English, those words are different. But in unconsciousness, in the spiritual levels, there's no separation. There's no way that we define something as past, something as future, something as now. It's all one. Their meal offerings and their libations for the bulls, for the rams, and for the lambs, according to their number as prescribed. Each animal receives, as I mentioned, each animal receives a libation, which is wine, and it is burnt on the altar just the way the animal is. And each animal receives a meal offering, which is matzah. Matzah is not given a chance to rise. There's no yeast, there's no ego, as we learn in the study of Pesach. And one young male goat for a sin offering, besides the continual burnt offering, its meal offering, and its libation. Why do we need to bring a sin offering? I mentioned one reason yesterday. I'll mention it again today. When you kill something, you're killing something that's a creation of Hashem. Yes, the Torah tells us to do these animal sacrifices. And those animal sacrifices are actually our animal, because we are animals. But when we control our animal instincts, our reactions, then we are transforming from an animal to a higher level. In modern terms, it's a higher level of frequency. But we have to bring this sin offering to recognize that we've killed an aspect of creation of Hashem. And even though he told us to do this, he's saying you have to realize that killing is not a positive thing. So you bring a sin offering. Now, what is the continual burnt offering? The continual burnt offering was an animal that was constantly being elevated, being burned on the altar. It never stopped. We have in our synagogues today a light that is eternal. It's always on. It never goes off. It's never turned off. There's a switch only to replace the bulbs, but essentially the continual offering is the unification of all the different levels of creation. The second parasha, second aliyah. And on the fifth day, 9 bulls, 2 rams, and 14 lambs in the first year, all unblemished. So today is actually 9 bulls. We're sharing with 9 different nations. We don't know who those nations are yet. We're sharing with them. There are 2 rams and 14 lambs. That's 2 sets of 8. 1 ram and 7 lambs. That represents the connection to the Olam Haba, because the number 8 relates to that. But the one ram and 7 lambs represents the direct light. And the second ram and the 7 lambs represents the returning light. So we are creating a circuit of energy that allows us to share this energy with the 9 nations. And their meal offerings and their libations for the bulls, for the rams, and for the lambs, according to their number, as prescribed. The Torah is using less letters, less words. to describe. They don't want to repeat themselves. So elsewhere in the book of Leviticus, we learn that every animal takes a meal offering and a libation, takes matzah and wine to be burned and connected together, the three columns. And one young male goat for a sin offering, besides the continual burnt offering, its meal offering, and its libation. Again, we have the sin offering recognizing that we have committed a mistake. Not a mistake, because Hashem told us to do it. But we have to recognize the horror that we need to feel when we kill. And on the sixth day, which is tomorrow, so we're connecting the past, the present, and the future, there are eight bulls, two rams, and 14 lambs in the first year, all unblemished. And their meal offerings and their libations for the bulls, for the rams, and for the lambs, according to their number, as prescribed. And one young male goat for a sin offering, besides the continual burnt offering, its meal offering, and its libations. So I ask a question, is every day the same? No, every day is different. And that's what we learn from this readings in these readings. And the fourth portion, I'm not going to read the English because it's a duplication of what we've already done. We're going to read Psalm 27. As we do this every day, twice a day, from the second day of Elul until Simchat Torah, which is this coming Sunday. And for those of you who don't understand or are not aware that we have 2 days of holidays in the Galut, in the exile, in the countries outside of Israel. But in Israel, they only have one day, and that is on Shabbat this year. It's Shmini Atzeret. But they also dance with the Torah on Shmini Atzeret. So the rabbis said, oh, we're going to have 2 days for one reason I don't want to go into now because it'll take too long to explain it. But we have these 2 days, so we're going to split the actions. But I can tell you when I was involved with the Kabbalah Center, the Rav and Karen had property in Israel, so they did Shmini Atzeret as one day. Shmini Atzeret and Simchat Torah, and I participated with them, along with everybody else that was involved with the Kabbalah Center. And that is one very long day. We would start at 8:30 in the morning, and we never finished before 5 on the combination day, because there is so much to do to truly generate the energy of the week, the year, the months. Psalm 27, verse 1. Tehillah le David Adonai Yehovah Ori Vishi Mimira Adonai Yehovah Maos Chaye Mimi Echad Bikrov alai mereim le'ekol et besari tzarai v'ovai li heima kashlu v'nafalu im tachane alai machane lo yira libi im takum alai milchama bezot ani. Ani boteach. Adonai, Yohewahei, Otavakesh, Shifti Bevet Adonai, Yohewahei, Kol Yemehayei, Lachasot Benoam, Adonai, Yohewahei, Uvaker, Tehekalo. Yitzpeneini besuko b'yom ra'a, yastireni beseter ahalo, besur yirom emeini, v'yata yarum roshi alvay, tevivotai v'yezbecha be'ahalo, zichete ru'a, Ashira va'azamra, Adonai Yohewahe, Shema Adonai Yohewahe, Toli Echra, Bechaneni ve'aneni, Lechamar libi bakshuvanai et panecha, Adonai Yohewahe Avakesh Al Taster Anecha Mimeni Al Tatbe Avavdecha Azrati Chayita Al Titsheni V'al Tiyazveni Elohe Yishi Ki avim v'imi azavuni, v'adonai Yohewahe yaasveni, horeni, adonai Yohewahe darkecha, uncheni b'orach mishor lema'an shorerai. Al titneni benefesh, efesh zatarai, ki kanu visheker vipeach chamas, lule haemanti, lirot betuv Adonai Yohewahe, be'eretz chayim, kaweel Adonai, Yohewahe, chazak v'yaametz libecha v'kave el Adonai. Yohewahe, adanu yo, yohewahe dawanu heyo. There is a Tzaddik who passed this day, the 19th day of Tishrei. He's a very famous Kabbalist, very famous Talmudist, a very famous Tzaddik. He is the leading sage for the sect of the Ashkenazim. The Vilna Gaon is his name, is his title. The genius of Vilna, Rabbi Eliyahu ben Shlomo Zalman. I'm reading now from our own website, a very short introduction to the man. He's the leader of Lithuanian Jewry, which is the Ashkenazim. He's a Torah scholar and a Kabbalist. At the age of 7, he gave his first public discourse and displayed a fully developed intellect. At the age of 35, he was approached by one of the leading sages of that time, Rabbi Yonathan Ebeschutz, to act as an intermediary in the conflict between him and another great sage, Rabbi Yaakov Emden. It is very well known that the sages of the generation argue. They're searching for truth. There's conflict with them. There's Machloket is the Hebrew term for a search for truth, an argument for the search for truth. But there's another level to this. Each of these sages come to complete their tikkun, and part of their tikkun is they have parts of the soul of each other. And their conflict is designed not only to find truth within the Torah, but to exchange the soul parts with each other. And so they have conflicts, and serious conflicts. The Gaon de Vilna had serious conflict with the Baal Shem Tov. In fact, he excommunicated the Baal Shem Tov for a short period of time. The Baal Shem Tov, who had this understanding from the Ari, and I'm sure the Gaon de Vilna did, but for whatever reason, the Baal Shem Tov approached him to meet, which would have resolved the conflict. And the Gaon refused to meet with him, for whatever reason. We're not able to judge that. It's just I'm describing what I know from the history. I'm continuing to read. The Gaon's son testified that for 50 years his father did not sleep for more than 2 hours in the 24-hour period. His breadth of knowledge was amazing. He was capable of stating from memory the number of times any sage was mentioned in any particular book of the Talmud. His knowledge of both the revealed and the hidden parts of the Torah was beyond compare. The Gaon considered secular knowledge to be a vital adjunct to Torah study. He was knowledgeable in almost all of the secular fields that was available to him in the time in the 1700s when he lived. And he authored books on grammar and mathematics. Among his many writings is Aderet Eliyahu, a commentary on the Chumash. He disagreed with some of the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov, yet stated that without studying Kabbalah, it is impossible to learn the Peshat level of Torah properly. The statement was made by his son that he did not read, he did not sleep more than 2 hours in a 24-hour period. Most of us hear that, think that's impossible. But the amount of hours you sleep is related to your spiritual level. As you purify yourself, your need for sleep declines. Yes, I know science tells us we need to sleep 8 hours, 7 hours, 9 hours. It's really not true. We need to sleep 8, 9, 7 hours because of our impurities, because of our negativity that's built into our soul, not into our soul, but in a sickly poke that attaches itself to the soul so that it can receive life-sustaining energy. Clean off the klipot, you will sleep less. You will have more time for Torah study. The Chabad Rebbe, who passed away in, I believe, 95 or 94, he always would say, because he was working from early morning to early morning, he would go through 23, 22, 21 hours of day, and the rest, he did not study, and he would be tired. Everybody was tired when you do something like that. But if you choose to limit the body, take control of the body, and you learn that you really don't need all those hours of sleep, the body, we know the body continues to function during our sleep. The heart beats, the lungs breathe. purpose of sleep is for the soul to rise and be rejuvenated by being back home in the endless world, in the, connected to Hashem, in the Garden of Eden, all these different levels of consciousness. And if the soul gets there and it can be rejuvenated immediately, in a minute. But we have the physical world that we must contend with. I'm also going to read another aspect about the Gaon de Vilna. And this is about the prophecy. It is taught that in 1790s, the Gaon de Vilna made these following prophecies. But of course, they're not prophecies. They're statements of insight. Because prophecy didn't exist. But we know that Talmid Chachamim, students, wise students, students of wisdom, students of wisdom reach a higher level of consciousness than even prophecy. Rabbi Lazer Brody, who is a well-known modern Kabbalist, or let me rephrase that, he's a well-known rabbi in our generation. And he claims to be a Kabbalist. Rabbi Sternbuch, who is the surviving grandson of the Gaon de Vilna, received a closely guarded secret that came to him from Rabbi Yitzhak Teber Zatzal, who received it from Chaim of Volozhin Zatzal, who received it from the Gaon de Vilna himself, who revealed it shortly before his death. When you hear that the Russians have captured the city of Crimea, which is what took place in the, I'm not sure of the year, 2025, 2010, somewhere recently, within 10, 12 years, when the Russians invaded Crimea, when you hear that the Russians have captured the city of Crimea, you should know that the times of the Messiah have started, that his steps are being heard. And when you hear that, the Russians have reached the city of Constantinople, which is Istanbul, which is Turkey. You should put on your Shabbat clothes. And don't take them off, because it means that the Mashiach is about to come any minute. Is it a prophecy? Is it a statement of fact? We know that the Mashiach can come tonight, even though Crimea has been captured by the Russians. But also, they're not in Constantinople. And Mashiach can come tonight. By the same token, if we are in a generation that sees the Russians going into Constantinople, we will know that it's time to get dressed and go to Israel for Shabbat. Wow. Does anyone have any questions? Have a beautiful, beautiful day. Enjoy the energy of your Shalom Gadol to everyone.
Shalom Gadol to you, Tova.
Shalom.